What do you want to know?
Just,
how I started.
Yeah, how did you first get into it? I mean, what your first impetus?
My aunt used to take me around to beer gardens, man, you know, when I was about 4 or 5 years old. And that ain't how I got into it, but that's one of the things that, I mean, she was a down chick, you know.
Right.
And fuck, man, I dug music, man. And when I first heard from as far back as the Hucklebuck, man, do the Hucklebuck. From the Hucklebuck, man, to Shaboom, you know.
Right.
It just rang bells in my head, you know. I said, wow, man, I think I can do that.
Right.
But I didn't know how you'd go about going to, you know, like, if you got a talent, it's one thing. But you got to have, you got to know the person to put you on the stage to perform this talent, you know what I mean? And man, that's been my problem ever since I started, man.
Really?
It's like, hell yeah. It's like, what am I gonna go and tell some other dude that I can sing better or as good as what I hear on the radio, you know what I mean?
Was accordion the first instrument you started playing?
I hope not. Hey man, I used to practice a fucking accordion and look at Lawrence Welk. God damn. And my father, you'll never be able to play like that. I hope not. Shit. When I was in grade school, man, I was, you know how you have those guys, king of the school shit? I was the king of the school, man. I was a bad guy, you know what I mean? But when I got to junior high school, man, it was so many more people than there were in the fucking grade school, man.
Yeah.
I had to get a new bag. So I started telling jokes, you know? Quick. Who, me?
Really?
Yeah,
shit. What was your first band? You know, I mean, how'd you get that together?
My first band was started at Dorsey High School. I went to Dorsey. That school basketball record at Dorsey, yeah. Right on.
Nice.
Arthur Lee. Shit. Yeah, it's cold-blooded, man. I like sports, man. I like living, you know. It's a good trip.
Yeah.
But learning, you know, trip, man. So, my band.
Right.
I started my band at Dorsey. So, started out with the first band was Johnny Echoes, and I said, "Get this on that Forever Changes album," and he's from Memphis too.
But you didn't know any of these people back there.
No, I didn't know him in New York. I met him when he was 15, and we went to school together, and he had a band, and fuck, I was playing congas or whatever you call them at the time, and a little accordion, a little piano, you know.
Do you remember the name of that first band?
The name of the first band was the Unkumaluma Lumumbas, I think.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Really?
That was my name in the band. Unkumaluma Lumumba.
When did the lags happen?
Oh, that, I guess that was the first recording band. Was it the American Four? Damn. I think it was. No. Yeah, it was not the Lags. It was the LAGs.
Right.
I was in the Booker T and the MGs. They get said MG meant Memphis Group.
Oh.
LAG would mean the LA Group.
Right.
It wasn't lag. I wasn't lagging.
Did the LAGs ever record anything?
Yeah, we did a song called The Knife Wave. On Capitol Records, man.
It was released.
Yeah.
You have a copy of it.
It's fucked. It's fucked, man. I mean, really fucked. You know, the attitude I had, I heard, you know, like you go to a big record company or something, if they sign you, they rip you off.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was give the people not the best thing that I had.
Right.
You know what I mean? To test them.
Right.
And if they push that, then I give them the best thing I had.
Right.
You know what I mean? Well, you don't do it like that, man. You give them the best, and you make sure that you're the best,
right.
Or fuck, you're out of there, you know? And I was out of there.
So from what
and
year
in
to
the
what
here,
year,
huh?
From what year to what year were you signed with them, do you remember?
Must have been 63, 64.
How'd they find you, I mean?
How did they find me, man? That is a good question. I went there. I went there, man. I kept telling these guys, Adam Ross and Jack Levy. They used to be the managers of a group called the Rivingtons.
Right.
Papa Ooh Mama. Figured I couldn't go wrong there. I went to a lot of people, man. I went to a lot of black people first, you know, because that was the neighborhood. I'm from a black neighborhood. And, like, I went to J.W. Alexander of Sar Records, who was Sam Cooke's manager. He turned me down. I went to Billy Revis of Revis Records. That's how I met Jimi Hendrix. And there was nothing happening there, you know. So fuck it, man. I was working out in Montebello under the name The American Four.
Right.
Give them the whole name, man, you know, America. And maybe you can make $20. I was at my girlfriend's house one day, and all of a sudden, man, I turn around and there's this car accident. And this lady's all fucked up, man. And these guys were driving by, and they jump out of the car. And the guys that jumped out of the car were the Valentinos.
Yeah.
Bobby Womack's
right.
The Valentinos.
Right.
And they had hair as long as you in 1963, man. You dig it? And I looked at it, man. I looked at their head and their hair and everything. Something must be happening here. I don't know what it is. So I put a wig on, man, and go out there to Montebello and start singing Beatle and Rolling Stone. And oop oop a doo and all that shit, you know, funky. And the next thing I know, man, I go to Ciro's and the Birds are playing there. And I bumped into Brian Jones, the Rolling Stones. And he looked at me. He couldn't believe it. I don't think I looked at him. I know I wasn't believing. But anyway, man, then I saw Jim McGuinn and the Birds and those guys, man. And like the music in my head that I had in the back of my head, way in the back. Mm. But anyway, I knew I could do the things that I saw the Birds doing at Ciro's, packing the house every night, all these people jumping up and freaks flying around and carrying on. So, man, you know, I jumped on the wagon. I didn't get my trip from the Birds, but like, it was a big influence on the First Love album.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? But see, like, I was hungry, man. You know what I mean? I said, I'll do this thing until I'm capable of doing my thing. You know what I mean? And that came about just about right after Da Capo, I think. It was sort of like Da Capo and Forever Changes. And then I started doing my style.
Do you remember, like, the month that the First Love band was formed, when it was first called Love? Of the year.
It was immediately after I heard that someone ripped my name off the Grassroots. The reason I called the name of the group Love was because rather than hate somebody for stealing something from you, man, maybe if you loved them, it'd be a, you know, different approach to the whole trip. You digging?
Yeah.
So that's how I got the name Love. I was riding on the freeway trying to think of another name, man. Well, Grassroots is gone. Call it Love, man. Yeah, changing the name to Love, man, really tripped my life up, you know. It was the first album, man. I'd written all these fucking songs, gone around to all these fucking record companies, you know. And every time I got turned down or some, every time I went through some so-called bummer, man, I try to write something good to overcome the bad feeling that I got, you know what I mean? I wrote in Morgan like that, for sure. You know, here I am upstairs with a chick that I dig, and the next thing I know, Brian's fucking her downstairs. So there's, and more again, you know? And more and more and more and more. Again and again and again. Fuck it. It's cool.
Was the band doing much touring? Like during all this
no,
time?
No, we weren't doing anything. We were up and down the West Coast, man. We did one thing. Like, what they wanted us to do, man, was go and eat shit, you know? And, like, I just wasn't going for it, man, because I had my $50 a month pad, you know? And I was eating every day.
Yeah.
And I just didn't see why I had to go out on the road, man, and eat shit.
If they had, I mean, taken care of you more, I mean, you obviously wouldn't have been so bitter about going on the road.
I wasn't bitter, man. I didn't feel like going.
You just didn't want to go.
I just didn't feel like going, that's all.
Did you think that...
My hair wasn't... It was either... I was so young. It was either my hair wasn't long enough or I didn't have the right kind of pants on. Now, that's how stupid the trip was, man. No shit. Yeah.
Didn't you think that going out on the road and letting people see you would sell more albums? Or did that mean anything?
And I always thought that if something was good, it would get through anyway.
I agree.
You know? Whether you went out on the road, I mean, like, that's what I thought was going to happen for me. But fortunately, it didn't.
Fortunately?
Hell yeah.
Why fortunately?
Because, man, I learned how to play. And while I was sitting around. You know.
How did you get together with Jimmy? You kind of sing with him, or he played on?
He played on a record called My Diary, which was written about, it's too cold, but this chick's mother found her diary, man, and she wanted this chick to be with the lighter-skinned black dude with the straighter hair down the street, you know, she found her diary, man.
Where did you hear that, Jimmy could play like a Sagino? Do you want a Jimmy on the record?
This guy, Revis Records, Billy Revis, told me that, see, what I needed was a guy that played something like, there was a gypsy woman around the campfire,
right,
and that type of guitar. Well, he said he knew a dude that could do that backwards, man, and he wasn't lying, because he brought Jimmy in, and Jimmy played back. Whoa, man, it was a nut, you know, so it's out of sight, man. But it really broke me up when she found out about the diary bit, man. So I wrote a record called My Diary. Why did my mother find my diary? You know, and Jimmy's yeah. Yeah, man, that's how I met Jimi Hendrix.
Was Jimmy playing with anybody then?
He's playing with Little Richard. He's playing with the Isley Brothers. I think he's playing more with Little Richard than the Isley Brothers. Plus, I've got an album in the can that I did with Jimmy.
Right.
Forrest Hamilton was Chico Hamilton's son. Forrest Hamilton works for Stax Records now.
Right.
He was my manager at the time, man. Every time I go to the can and ask him where my tapes were that I did with Jimmy, the album I did with Jimmy, he'd tell me Krasnow had it. I go to Krasnow tell me Forrest had it. You know what I mean? Pretty soon, I couldn't see the trees for Forrest, man.
This stuff you and Jimmy had written together?
No, it was a jam. It's just a big jam, man. And he did Easy Rider on it.
Really?
Yeah. We played, you know, my group played with him with Easy Rider, and we did Ride That Vibration Down, and a long jam, sort of like that thing that was on the second album, The Revelation.
Right. Whatever.
But some good shit on there, man.
Yeah.
Some good soulful licks, man. I mean, you know, Jimmy, he played, man. Cracked me. The cat walked out of the session about four times that one night, man. He'd walk, pack up everything he had, man. Pack up everything he had while we're still playing. Split. Okay, later, Jimmy. 10 minutes later, man, he's coming back in. What key were we in? Yeah. No shit. That's this trip I went through. Olympic Studio in
London.
London.
He's right there.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Did you ever talk with him about maybe starting a band together?
Yeah, we were going to start a band
together.
Yeah. He wanted to use Stevie Winwood, and there's a dude who has a band. His name is Remy Kabaka.
Right, the kind of player.
Right. Well, he played with...
Traffic.
Did he?
Yeah.
And he played with Ginger Baker's...
Air Force.
Right. Well, he's got his own band now, because I just got back from London. And... he was over there, man. What was the question?
Just how you, you know.
No, it was something
gonna,
I wanted.
You're going to start a band with Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, that was the question. Yeah, it was going to be called Band Aid. Band Aid.
That's what Band Aid is.
Yeah. Band Aid. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Why?
So that was Jimmy's idea. Everything I've ever done, I said, well, that's the best I've ever done. You know what I mean?
Right.
I still think Vindicator is the hippest.
the victory. That's enough.
How did the new band get together? Presumably these are the guys you wanted for the particular direction you were aiming for.
Well, I've known, let's see, the bass player, Robert, for about 5-6 years, maybe.
That's Robert Rozelle.
Robert Rozelle, yeah, he's the bass player. He used to play with the group called the Young Hearts. He also played with Little Richard. And he turned me on to my guitar player, Melvin Whittington.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in turn, Melvin turned me on to Joe Block, who was the drummer. And I met John Sterling. He was the other guitar player, to a friend of mine. We all put it together and seemed to work out okay. So I think we had a real good band, you know.
And what sort of direction is the band taking?
Well, we play a lot of things from, like, from the first album that I did.
Mm-hmm.
To even as far as things from the album that I did for Buffalo that hasn't even been released yet. So, you know, we go from My Little Red Book to My Little Black Crook. Whatever, White Crook, I don't know.
You say your own personal tastes are changing year by year, so where are you aiming for now, musically?
What am I aiming for?
Musically.
A bullseye.
Beep, beep. Slow down, man, cause you're going too fast.
What about the album on Buffalo?
Buffalo, it's a good album, man. It's a good album. It's a song called Beep Beep. It's really tripped out, you know.
You think that'll ever be put out?
Do I think it should be put out?
I think it will be put out.
Yeah, I sure do. It's a hit song. I mean, as far as what I hear on the radio, it's sort of a reggae type thing.
Yeah.
It's hip. It's hip. The album didn't come out, so I'm gonna try to buy the album.
I mean, he owns the album.
Yeah, he's got, yeah, you know. I mean, like, I signed exclusively with Buffalo Records, man, and he had Checkmates and us, some other group. I don't know who they were, but I ain't nobody's material released, you know what I mean? That really didn't fuck me around, but it held me back, you know, like, if you're gonna go out and, on the road and do something, man, it's always nice to have an album out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And his record company folded. So, Laugh 73, man, I did an album, like, every year. I did an album every year, not for 10 years.
Right.
And 9 years in it. And
who was on the album?
Robert Rozelle, Melvin Whittington, and Joe Block, and me.
Isn't on a couple of those guys in your band now?
Yeah, they, same guys.
Right.
Same guys, except I added John Sterling.
Right.
As a matter of fact, everything I do now, I can keep on doing it for a long time because I'm really digging what I'm doing, man. And that's what it's about. So that's my trip, man. That's why I'm just getting as black and funky as I can, man, on my music side, because that's where I feel right now. You know?
Were you hesitant at all to, put Back Together Love, thinking that people might think, well, they were a, you know, 60s band and what are you doing in 74?
I don't care what people think, man. And they don't care what I think, so, you know, it all works out. But the trip is, if they dig the music, they'll buy it no matter what name it's called. And no matter who did it, when, or whatever, you know what I mean? And that's the point, and that's what I wanted to make sure happens, you know, on this album. Because I think this album will get played.
So you're obviously pretty happy with it then?
Yeah, I'm tickled black.
Why did you leave A&M?
Because I signed as Arthur Lee, and they took for granted that Arthur Lee was love or whatever. And after I finished the album, I said, "Hey, now, do you guys want to sign love?" And they said, "We'll think about it." And they thought about it, and they didn't want to do it because I couldn't participate because I had signed exclusive with them, right?
Yeah.
So, like, fuck it, man. They said pass. Yeah. So that's what I did. I went on to Buffalo, man, and record didn't get released. Now I think I'm just about on my feet again.
Right.
Ready to do it, man. I'm really ready, you know? So it's cool.
So you've been off the road then, or not recording for about how long, a year?
No, I've never stopped.
You've just Buffalo Record was
just
done
didn't come out. It came. It was done in May of '73. May from May to June, or May to late June.
And then you
of '72.
This is 73.
It was last year.
So what has been happening from that point to this point? You got this band together and went over to England.
Yeah, I went over to England because I had to work. You know, I had to work, and I got a pretty good following over there. But at least I got a point across that I can still stand there and play the guitar, you know, and get down to boot, you know what I mean? So, like, Oaks saw me, and a few people saw me, man. Shit, it's a good trip, you know? I'm really glad about this whole thing, man. Just because it's simple enough to pat your foot
right.
and forget about the legendary whoever, what's his name, or any of that shit, you know what I mean? It's just music you can sit and groove with, man. So, and that was my whole point in going and doing this.
It was. You sat down and you wanted to do that.
That's exactly what I wanted to do. And I wanted to do a couple more. Yeah. Why hassle it, man? Shit. Let it flow.
Do you in any way see this as a third stage in Love's development or your development? Like the first being up to the Forever Changes album,
no.
Forever Changes to the Vindicator, and now?
No.
Yeah.
I don't see nothing like that. I don't see. I just think it all is a cat being able to be versatile enough to do, being versatile in music, man, and trying to do the best he can, you know what I mean? I haven't had any live thing on any record I've done except for Buffalo's record, and it's a song called Can't Stop Turning. And I did that at the Boston Tea Party in front of about, well, it was packed. The place was packed. I mean, it must have been 10 people there. And out of the 10 people, one guy from Canada told me that he came all the way from Canada to sing these women. Really great. It made me feel good.
So then just to kind of end it all, you're glad that love is happening again then?
Right on. Yeah, love never stopped happening, you know.